And so just for purposes, if you will just give us your name and how to spell it, so then that way we've got it on the audio recording, okay. That'll be great.
Jerry Kendall, JerryKendall.
Okay. And so when we, I'll let you, you know, show us whatever it is that you want to show us, we'll scan it. And then anything that you want to tell about the item or tell the significance or a story behind it, anything that you think would be helpful, interesting, useful, you just feel free to tell us all about it.
I started something 5 or 6 more years ago writing about people that became famous that were from here or descendants mostly from here. So that's what this is about. I did 5 of them, and then I quit doing it. I was putting it on hearthstones of home. So I did 5, and I've got all those names there that and you can keep that if you want to.
I was about to say, this will be an easy to see.
But there's a lot of information about all those, and take a long time to tell all about everybody. But
yeah.
But some famous people on there. This is one of them I wrote about, Tom Smith. I think that might have been the first one. Was the trainer for the racehorse Seabiscuit, but he was born in Towns County, and then the family moved away. And when he was about 5 years old, there were 14 children, 5 born in Towns County. He's in the 1880 Towns County census. Some say, well, you can't, and I'm, he and my grandfather, Jim Kendall, were first cousins. So he's related to a lot of people in Towns County. His mother was a tailor.
Okay.
Related to Jerry Taylor
and
all the Taylors, you know, of your way. He's related to them. That's pretty much the situation that he's in that book. Here's a lady that her grandfather was from Towns County. Her name in movies was Mary Castle, but her name was Mary Ann Noblet. Her grandfather was Adoniram, called him Dutt, D-U-T, Noblet. And then they wound up in Texas, and then she wound up in California, and she's, that's her right there in this movie. She was in a lot of movies and TV shows back in the, from late 40s to early 60s. Had a problem with temptations and all that, and ended her career early. Beautiful lady, though. She's known as I've forgotten the name of the lady now that was, she's known as, but here's another picture of her right there. And actually, you might be interested in knowing on this picture, J.D. Sumner was with the Sunshine Boys, was a singing group that was in this movie and a lot of movies that they were in. J.D. became, J.D. Sumner and the Stamps Quartet were Elvis Presley's backup group for the last 5 or 6 years of his life.
Wow.
And Eddie Wallace right here is a really good friend of ours. He recognized Alan when he was 3 years old. He was a big gospel music fan. We went to an old timers night in East Point, Georgia, and he was so impressed with Alan at 3 years old, he'd go up to him and say, "Sunshine Boys," that Eddie recognized him from the stage of the first concert Alan had ever gone to. And then he became a mentor to Alan when he's a gospel singer now for the last several years. And this guy right here worked for Hugh Hoodenpile, that had the grocery store here for decades. Yeah. He worked for him, which I did too one summer here. Yeah. But he was in that group. So
I remember Smiley Burnett in the old Westerns.
Oh, yeah. He was with Gene Autry a lot in the early Gene Autry's, and then Gene went in the military, and then Smiley went in other directions, and then he was on the Gene Autry TV show at the end. He came back with him. And then he was in several things through the years. But, yeah, he was in movies with Charles Sterrett, the Durango Kid, they called him. But anyway. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that was the Sunshine Boys, and that was the group there. That's a picture of Teddy Gentry right there. I had the article that I wrote for the Hearthstones of Home Monthly, and it was on that, but my copier won't do the black print. But Teddy is with the Alabama band.
Okay.
And he's a descendant of Towns County. His great and great great grandfathers were from Towns County, and they wound up over in Alabama, and he's quite famous.
Yes.
Been with him since late 60s, I think, 69 yeah. or so. Let's see what else. I've just got a bunch of stuff. Here's pictures from, and I don't know all the pictures who these are. Don't know if I know who those three right there are. Danny Birch was pastor of our Woods Grove church, and Walter Boone and W.O. Cruz. They were before Danny and had something that I don't know if this would be hard for you to keep up with, probably. I just put that in there.
Yeah.
But Danny's our neighbor now.
Yes.
And I think that was all. I put that in there, those pictures. And if you want to do any of them, well, you can do that. But,
okay.
We had Woods Grove Community Club down at Ridges Resort in that area. You may be familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
We had a community improvement club back in 53 and 54, before and after that. But we were in competition, our community. And I remembered, I was 8 years old then. I remember a lot about it. My mom was president of it. We were in competition with 114 communities in the northern probably quarter or third of Georgia that the Atlanta Chamber of Commerce, I believe, was who sponsored it, and went to Atlanta to the Biltmore Hotel, I think, and we won of the 114
wow.
community improvement clubs that were in it, and my mom was president of it. She appeared on Channel 2, WSB-TV, the next day with Today in Georgia was a program. The Today Show, I guess it's still going, I don't even know, but they had then 30 minutes after that, the Today in Georgia show, and she was on that, on TV, and I got to watch her. I was in third grade then, and then came on to school, and then the couple of days after that, she was on the National Farm and Home Hour radio program from Chicago.
Wow.
And I've got the script here from when they did that. Here's a lot of information about it, the open house and things like
yeah.
that.
I'm definitely famous for being great.
You know, that's a lot of information there. But
now, so I was just looking because I saw the name A Clower was famous, and so I guess the Clower that you said that was kind of had been famous for whatever, I guess that's his or her relatives then.
What was that now?
The Clower.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was people from our community. Eunice Swanson, her husband was, I'm not sure if he was the ordinary then, which is the commissioner
yeah.
now. He was, and she was Jack Mathis's sister, maybe too young to remember Jack, but he was a coach, and Ricky's
yeah,
dad.
Yeah.
You know Ricky.
I
yeah.
think Jack coached my dad in some sports and whatnot.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 Your dad played under Jack, and there is a map of the Woods Grove community from back then, and you know, it's, I know it's more than maybe you'd be able to make copies of, but anyway, that tells what everybody had done that year in the community that improved her. And it was amazing how we did things in the community that the people had matching mailboxes, and everybody had a matching mailbox post and all that. And there's a good bit more information. My grandmother threw away 2 scrapbooks that we had. Of course, you couldn't use them, but anyway, I think she threw them away. There's other stuff here. Let me see what else. Here's information about Ms. Ian Nicholson. Her husband was the county agent back in those days, and they were real active in the community improvement club and all that, and tour guide here. We had I don't know if he was a senator then, but there was a state senator who was in what we considered Woods Grove community then. And then the next year, Friendship had a community improvement club, and I believe they won it the next year, the championship. And I mean, it was a big
wow.
thing, you know, to in Atlanta. They went to the Biltmore Hotel and all that. And
yeah.
But they took a little part of what was considered Woods Grove community then, the Ridgecrest Circle there. It was considered in Woods Grove community in 53, but then the next year it went in with Friendship, so.
Cool.
But our pastors of Woods Grove Church up to recently, a listing of them, and Woods Grove Community Improvement Club, history of Woods Grove Community and Church, started back in 1832, history of Woods Grove Community and Church. So,
wow.
A lot of information there. So, that's more of the community improvement, about the same things. There was something that our community improvement club did. They made what they call fancy pants for the Lions Club, the Georgia Lions Club. They made them for years, and they would do two dishcloths, and they would use ribbons and put them together, and they were little pants like. And then it said on there, they'd have that attached to it. This is from Chicago in 1960. It says, "Please don't get excited and don't be misled. These aren't for you, but your kitchen instead. When you're through reading our hearty good wishes, just untie the bows and wash your dishes." Made for the Georgia Lions Boys Grove Community Club, Hiawassee, Georgia.
Wow.
That did that for years. I've got one of these as far back as 58, I think, and then 67.
Oh,
I don't know if they did them every year, but they did a lot of that.
Took them to convention.
A picture of Claude Swanson's sister up there. She lived down in south of Atlanta, down on Jonesboro area.
Okay.
But that's just a part of this. And here's articles about Georgia, two mountain communities, and race for the prize, you know. And there's LJ and Woods Grove community. There is the program. Oh, this one's a little better. If you're going to take a picture of it, that one's in better shape. But there it shows on the back the communities that were involved, and Woods Grove, Towns County was involved, and the only community in the county. But later, Woods Grove encouraged Young Harris. And
okay. I'm going to take a picture of the front and back of that.
And Friendship, and there was at least three or four other communities, I think, that began to do that later. And got the program on the inside.
Wow. That's so cool.
So what else is in here? Got several things. A lot of letters in here from different ones that they sent to the radio station, the TV station, and all kinds of letters back and forth, a lot of things here. That, see if there's anything else. Like there's the plans for the community for 1953. You can see how they did so much. It just boggles my mind to think of them doing this much back then. And Mr. and Ms. Nicholson, Mr. and Ms. Nick as we call them, they were largely responsible for it taking place. If it had not been for their support, it would not have happened. But all kinds of messages here about meetings and all that.
Wow. This is so cool. So the Woods Grove community was very active, and the Woods Grove community was
And you know, it was very not much in the way of business. We had two what we call now convenience stores. Bill mm-hmm. Gribble had a store right there at the intersection where you turn toward Hazel on the left, and the Fullers before that, Lawler's and Hendricks had a store right there below the theater.
Okay,
and had cabins across the road from there that people come and fish. We had at our house, and I can remember this taking place. They didn't have many places for people to stay when they would come up here, you know, if they wanted to come and fish. And we had a storm pit. A couple from Oklahoma, I think Oklahoma, had bought the place where we live and came here, and he built a storm pit. They told him, you don't need one here. They lived in the flat land, you know, so they had storm pits out there. Well, he built, cut back into the ground there, you know, and it's still there, the storm pit that we used it as a can house, and we call it that. But I can remember men would come, well-to-do guys, I'm sure, they would come and stay in that little room there, you know,
have
a light in there, and then they would eat with our family. Just they come out and eat with us, you know, and all that, and they go fishing.
Yeah.
And but anyway, didn't have that many places, but did have those cabins over there.
Yeah.
They had a drive-in theater that was right across from the opening to the Ridges Resort.
Okay.
And my grandfather owned that, and we hauled rocks off of it to farm it, and we'd haul a load of rocks off and apply it again, more rocks. So he sold it for nearly nothing. I'm sure he didn't, all farming was all he needed it for. So then somebody, I remember coming to the house. My dad was killed in service when I was just 2.5 months old. My mom and I lived with my grandparents. So I saw things that happened, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody came and told my granddaddy, said, so-and-so sold that property for $30,000. My granddaddy, I'm sure the way he said, I got what I asked for it. So he probably sold it for a few $100s, and but he didn't think about it being worth anything. So farming, and thought, well, it wasn't worth anything, so he got rid of it, you know.
Yeah.
I get carried away and get sometimes telling about things. Let's see what else. Yeah. Another thing about two mountain communities in race for the prize, and one at L.A.J. and Woods Grove, or the Atlanta Biltmore. Hotel thing that they had for whatever that was. And Georgia Mountain Fair thing, Howard Cunningham, and, a little late this year, checking with you on your advertisement for the 1957 Georgia Mountain Fair booklet. That, you know, this is something that that we did for that, I'm sure. Georgia Mountain Fair, people that were involved in it on that.
Yeah, that would be good. It's got officers, directors, and yeah.
A lot of well-known people from the past on there. I knew nearly all of them.
Yeah, it's got
F.C. Berry, he was our mail carrier back then. His granddaughter lives down in Woods Grove community now. C.R. Clegg, that was Dr. Clegg, the president of Young Harris College.
And, okay.
Ray Nicholson, Dr. Nicholson's father.
Uh-huh.
He was the school superintendent probably at the time. And Paul Oynby lived up at Macedonia on the corner there as you turn toward Helen. And his wife was a teacher, Stella.
Okay.
Guy Pewitt was a teacher and principal. J. William Denton, Bob Anderson, president of the fair. W. Nix, he was the agriculture teacher, and E.C. Presley, Claude Presley is who that was, I'm sure. There's a lot of people here. This is the Friendship Community from 1955. There's something about that. You might want to take a copy of that. But they followed us in having one, and the next year after we won it, they had a sweepstakes, the ones that had won in the past, $1,000, our community won $1,000, which is a lot of money in 1953.
Oh, yeah.
And the next year, we couldn't be in the competition, but it was a sweepstakes, and we won $300 the next year. So,
oh, wow.
So that was a lot of money back in the 50s
that
like that.
I see that folder, too.
The what?
The folder.
Oh.
I work with Georgia Mountain Fair.
Oh, this is the National Farm and Home Hour radio program that went coast to coast, you know, in Chicago And at the end it says, this is Lee Morris in Atlanta and now back to Chicago. And it's got the script. They had it all planned out what to say. My mom was involved in that her portion that she said and all that, you know. And my mom's first cousin lived in Mobile, Alabama, and she heard it. She was had the radio on, and, well, that's my first cousin, you know.
Wow, that is super cool.
Yeah, it is. But that was a pretty long program that they did, you know.
Yeah.
And then there's more information. A lot of Lee Morris was the station WSB. And of the TV program, it was Don Elliott was the one on the TV. That was all you heard of him. Later he became Don Elliott Heald. That was his real full name, but
yeah,
he went by Don Elliott when he was the host of that, and then he became a major administrator for WSB TV, and they've been radio too. I did a presentation for the historical, and some others did, back in 2013, I think, and there was the plan to what we did and all that, you know, that the information about going over the history of Woods Grove community and all that. And, you know, some of this, if you'd like to have some, here's the open house in 54. This was the next year, and tells a lot of people that would come, you know, from Atlanta and all that. It was tour of the community, and there's the map of the community, and tells where everybody lived and all that, and tells what they did. I think that was in another portion that you saw. Progress report. There's some other stuff besides the community stuff. Let's see. There's an interesting article. Gail Nicholson, that's Dr. Nicholson's sister.
Sister? Okay.
Yeah, and just an article there.
Oh, cool.
And she came back. She was here one time and worked with Family and Children's Services with us for a while as just on a special event kind of thing about energy program. Here's some sports information. We played a team. I played baseball after high school, but I didn't play this year. This was my senior year, but played against a team from Silva, North Carolina. And they had a guy that pitched for them that had signed a $15,000 bonus in 1963 with the Houston Colt 45s. They were the Colt 45s before the Astrodome, and they became the Astros then.
Okay.
And he had signed that contract, and we scored 5 runs against him, and Billy Nations was a 16-year-old, 5'11", 125-pound pitcher that could throw hard, and he outpitched him by a mile. They'd already scored some runs, and they beat us 6-5. But Morris Neal had a home run and a triple off. Blake Allman was his name, you know.
Yeah.
And scored 5 runs against him. And Billy pitched 6 innings in relief and gave up 3 hits, no runs, no walks, and struck out 12.
Oh,
16
goodness.
Years old. But Billy didn't take care of himself, and then he wound up getting killed in a car wreck when he was 19. I think he was almost a certainty to have made it as a pro, but he didn't take care of himself. His arm, he just wanted to pitch when he wanted to, and, quite a pitcher. We coached. There's an article about baseball stuff here, other stuff. I've got my records of when I played baseball, but I didn't bring it for that. That's just some of the, I kept up with my stats and everything. This was a thing that I did a presentation to the Historical Society in 2013, I think. No, that's a sports history through spring of 2008. And then this is, that was that. So if they wanted to use that sometime, you know, you can do that.
Okay.
It's on this. And this is a, let's see, I believe this is, I'm trying to think. This is Ina Allison.
Well, she was, did she marry
and was Peoples then?
The what?
Did she marry and become a Peoples after that?
I missed what she said.
Did she marry and become a Peoples?
Yeah, okay. That's what it is. Yeah, Anna. Yeah, Carolina's her daughter. Yeah. She was, Anna was a star basketball player.
Yes, I know.
In 56, and then Carolina was years later. But yeah. They were both star players, you know. Yeah, that's what it is.
Okay,
yeah.
I thought so.
You're right up on things. But she did a presentation. She told about growing up in the Woods Grove community when we did that presentation at the Historical Society meeting. Let's see. What else? Learn more about the home. There's a picture of my mom getting the award.
Yeah, definitely.
For when we won the 53 thing.
Really funny because I was just reading some of that, and for Scythe County, the community of Oscarville was also said that it was a winner, and that's a community that essentially was like they drowned that community. I mean, like they obviously got everybody out, but they flooded that community in order to make Lake Lanier.
Is that right?
Yes.
How about that?
Yes.
You're up on that, and I'm not on that. I didn't know that.
There's some controversy around it.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
Here is a thing that mentioned about being on the TV program here, mentioned Don Elliott's TV program, and Mr. Nicholson, the county agent, thanking them for doing that. That my mom was on it. We didn't have a TV then, not many did. Well, there's a 20th anniversary reunion of Lady Indians won the region championship in 77. That was the only region championship girls won in the 1900s. And Buford had beaten South Gwinnett, the AAA region champion that year. They had a prestigious Gwinnett tournament at Christmas. Buford won it. They beat South Gwinnett, the AAA champion, and they beat Forsyth County was the AA. Forsyth County? They wouldn't have been in it. They were in Forsyth County. Norcross. I think it was Norcross. I'm not sure. But anyway, it was somebody that they beat. And then we beat them. There's an article that David Ralston wrote.
Okay.
He became the head of the House of Representatives. Passed away not long ago, but he was from Fanning County, and we were playing in a tournament over in Lumpkin County, and I was keeping score, and he came up, started asking me about the Towns County team, and I started telling him about Don Eller, our coach, that became totally unexpected as a coach, and then had awesome success. He did just an awesome job as a coach, and he came up and wrote an article about it, and then wound up going on back to school. He was just probably making some more money to go back to school, and wrote that. And
I see some Ricky Mathis is in here.
Oh yeah,
Martha Moss, which is my cousin, and cool.
I got all kinds of things like that. I got folders about things. I got stuff as far back as 1922. I think Claude Swanson was on the first team basketball team at Towns County. And had Mr. Pewitt, I can't remember his first name now, his daughter was, we were in school together, and his grandson became a coach at Columbus State and Berry College and Lander University, and it was an ultra successful one. But he did that. Let's see, what else? This is a lot of old basketball stuff from the 50s. There's Bill Kendall and Mike Hedden on the ends right there, both still living, doing well. And that was a really good team back then. Sectional basketball tournament, 1952, article there. And it's just a lot of stuff I've kept, so I just brought the folders and Berry College women's basketball national playoffs in their mind. Martha Moss Hufstetler now, she played over there, and she's All-American there, and she played for the national champion. Truett McConnell won the national championship her freshman year, and she made the all-tournament team. And
yeah.
Her coach said that she should have been the most valuable player. She was that good that after she played at Towns County, and she went over there and just did an awesome job, you know.
Yeah.
And but she had a teammate that was 6'2" from Kokomo, Indiana. She scored 43 points in the first game to beat a team from Wyoming. And they beat them easily, you know. Martha, I think, just scored 8 points in that game. They won by 20-something points or whatever, I think. And then after that, Martha played better. She made some of the biggest plays. And I remember Don Eller was her coach, you know. And he was down at our house, and we listened to games that was being played in Kansas or Missouri, wherever they were playing. I don't remember now. But during that broadcast, the announcer said, "Martha Moss has done everything at this game except sell concessions." That's how good she did, you know. He made that comment. That, and we knew how she could play it, how she could do it.
Yeah.
And she went on to Barry and played great there.
For the high school sports history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your material is a great resource for the high school sports history.
I'm sorry.
This high school probably has some kind of a history of their sports, right?
So yeah, I've got a lot of history.
You're a great resource for them.
Yeah.
For the school.
Yeah, I've talked to
show it to someone there.
Darren Braun and Jim Melton. I've got scorebooks as far back as 1952.
Yeah.
Just, you know, not all of the years, but I've got two drawers of scorebooks. And so I've told them I want to get them to them. I wrote articles for so many years. I go back and get information from those and use it in articles, you know, but I'm not writing articles now, so. They need to have it up there. And I told them to be sure it was protected, that people didn't run off with it or anything.
Yes.
Todd Kimsey had books from the 50s that he gave them to me. He said sometimes somebody would come and want to borrow the book, you know, that they played, and said they'd bring it back. Never did bring it. So he had just one girl's book, and he had four boys' books. He coached for 5 years and had some great success, you know. Anyway... you know, people do. I think, well, I'd like to have this, and I believe I'll keep it, you know. But they could see that. All right, here is a Dixie Majors, and this is sports. So, Jack Mathis was the head coach, and I was his assistant, and Ricky played, and Keith McKinney, and Anthony Turpin, and Alan Page, and... I could name all of them that played on that team, you know, Randy Parker and Darren McClure, and we went to the state playoffs over in Dalton, and we were playing all-star teams from Metro Atlanta places and all that.
Yeah.
Stone Mountain, Norcross, Buford, all those places had teams, you know, and they offered to let us. We just had just our team, and they offered to let us pick some up from White County. There weren't many teams here that played, and we didn't see that we could be improved for that, so we didn't do it. Well, Jack had me to go out to the event the first night. They had one game that Whitfield County was playing, and I didn't have anything on to identify me, and so I said, sort of felt bad for that team from Hiawassee, the Towns County, whichever they said it. That they offered to let us have some from them. Well, and we played the all-star teams, and we finished second in the state.
Yep.
Yeah. And I've got the scorebook at the house. I've got to get that to Ricky Mathis. I didn't even realize I had it till here a while back. I've got so much stuff there. But that was a great team. Here are the teams: North Gwinnett, Lawrenceville, Buford, Redan, Lilburn, Stone Mountain, Murray County, Hiawassee. That was the teams that were in it. And we finished second to South Gwinnett. That was...
That's awesome.
That was something. Here is our Woods Grove baseball team from 1959 and 60. that we just had a team in our community and extended down a little bit into Brasstown. And here's two pictures of the team. And I could tell you who these are. Jerry Parker there, he's the grandfather of Jeremy Parker, the head of the police department in Hiawassee. A guy named Walter Kelly then, he's Dr. John Kelly now. He has a son is with Lady Antebellum, lead singer, you're familiar with it. Yeah. And Nolan Josh is a singer and married to Katherine Heigl, the movie and TV actress.
Yeah.
But that's him there. Morris, and on this team, Morris Neal and Jerry Parker and Rex Norton and I, we were starters on the high school team then after we had played there. We would have never played if we had not had three parents, Howard Neal, Hubert Norton, and Jack Kelly, that they put us together on the team, and we played on that, and we were starters on the high school team. Two or three years later, you know. And then Walter Kelly, as we knew him then, he's Dr. John Kelly now.
Yeah.
And he lived in Towns County, but lived right on the line. And their family had a dairy farm. And the school bus to Hiawassee came close to an hour earlier than the one to Hayesville, so they would go across the line and go to Hayesville. There was nothing against Towns County or anything, but they went over there. But he was the all-conference quarterback in football over there. And then on this team, while Morris, Neil, and Mike Kelly, their sons were star players on the state championship team in '88 here.
Ah.
And Ben Parker Jr. was on the team. And he had a son that was a star. Hayesville, he was a star pitcher and hitter and went to UNC Charlotte.
Wow.
He had a son that was on their state championship team the same year.
So
there's a lot from that.
Crazy.
And you know, it's amazing that there are just three that have passed away from that team that from 1959 or 60. I don't know when that picture, those two pictures were taken. But Dennis Nichols, my first cousin, passed away not long ago. And Boyd Burrell passed away years ago, and then the Shook guy and his brother, I think that's him, it's not in that picture, but that's interesting seeing some of those ancestors. And my son is a gospel singer. Here's pictures of Hoyle Bryson. It's not, it's copies, but that's, he was a minor league baseball player and for 3 years, and his sons, Bob and Brian, were star athletes here, and he played for 3 years as a pro, and one of his teammates was in the major leagues for several years, so we got those pictures there. I'm getting down close to the end of all this. Here's something that's very interesting. You see there, a lady that was a star athlete, won a major award. Here's Furman Bisher, the great writer for the Atlanta Journal and Constitution. He wrote for the Journal, I think. But let me see, I've got a picture. I'll show another picture here if I can find it. Yeah. Here we go. But Tracy Cheek was her name.
Okay.
And this is the 1952 Towns County girls team. That is her mother right there.
Okay.
Jerry Smith, Jimmy Smith's sister. And she won. I mean, that was a major award. It was a pro guy that won for the men's award. And but there's several folks on here that are still living and doing well.
Wow. That is so cool.
And this is men's team from 1952. Picked a copy of a picture from them. Bill Kendall on the left standing, and Mike Hedden on the right, both still doing well. And I don't know all of them on here. Tommy McNabb, lower right there, had passed away, and James Jones is one of the ones holding the basketball, and got some
cool,
interesting folks there. Tracy Cheek, though, that was something what she did to win the award. Here's about the alumni games that I just had that in there that we had back in 2003 and 2004. We had that. So there's an article that I wrote about Nick Markakis was a star player at Young Harris College.
Yeah.
And wound up with Baltimore and the Braves then. And,
yeah.
And great player, and I wrote about it when he made it to the major leagues. Brad Wilson and Chet Kendall both named first team All-State, I believe, and Chet was drafted by the Minnesota Twins that year, and then Brad the next year, but we won state championship, so that was a big deal then. And this is just a package of phone directories. There is the Hiawassee phone directory for 1958.
That would be cool.
That is it, right there. And my mama kept these, and I've got them all in here, but that one's the old one. And she had written quite a few more names in there, but that's all the people that had phones in Hiawassee.
Wow.
We had a Hiawassee phone number, but a Young Harris address. We lived right between, and
there he is.
Mm-hmm. You probably find James Dyer listed. Have you done look for him?
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know if you know it or not, but Blanche and my dad are first cousins.
Oh.
I don't know if you knew that or not.
I didn't. From like the Presley.
Presley,
line?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
Ola and May, my grandmother, were sisters.
Oh.
Ola was your great-grandmother, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, Dad and I did a crash course in, like, our history last night, so.
What was that?
Like, he was going over the history, family history stuff with me last night, and.
Who did you say was doing it?
Dad, Bonnie.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And so I was just like, wow, okay. Like, so it was nice to go over everything again because I forget, like, names and all of that. So,
Ronnie worked. I was a family and children's nurse. Elaine England, she was the one that hired me. And she was my dad's first cousin, and I'm sure people thought, well, that's the reason I got a job. But I was just finishing college, and they were looking for somebody. I hadn't been able to find anybody. As a caseworker in Jimmy McNabb, I went to church with her, and they hadn't found anybody. And she told Elaine that she thought I was about to finish college, and I might be one that they could hire, you know. So she called me and wanted me to come by. Well, I knew Elaine real well. I thought it was kinship, you know. So now, one night, she'd call and see if I might be interested in working. And I told her and explained why, that I said I didn't think I would ever want to work for the welfare department. Not help people. I told her I thought that'd be hard to do if somebody came in and told me what they needed, and I thought I wouldn't be good at figuring that out. So, well, you got regulations you go by, then mostly it was they got money payments, you know, people that needed money payment. If they're over the amount of income or resources, they're not eligible. If they're under, then I said, well, I could probably do that. So that's how I wound up working. And then your dad worked with us one summer as a student. And Jerry Taylor, he and Jerry Taylor and Eddie McNabb, the state had a program, you know, that summer. And we had a great time. And Ronnie and I played a little bit of softball together. And I kept score when he was playing and got the score books that he played, all the games he was in. That I've got down there, and that's something I'll be turning into the school when I can get around to getting it done.
Yeah,
so
that would be neat to see. Well, thank you. Is there any last minute, like, stories or anything else you would like to add before I stop recording?
No, it's limited in what the interest will be, I'm sure, but, if you need any.